I'd like to invite you this morning over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 25. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 25. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 25 reads this way. It says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, again, thanking you for the privilege of gathering together as your people and calling upon you, Lord, to bless us, to fill us and guide us by your Holy Spirit, that we might worship you in spirit and truth, and also, Lord, to hear from you and that you would strengthen the faith that you've given to us, Lord, that we might walk in your ways and walk in your light and be the light and the salt of the earth that you've called us to be. And then, Lord, if there's one or more than one that may not have the 100% assurance of eternal life, may you speak to them and help them to understand, open up their eyes that they might see you, Lord, and trust you and know you as we do. And we'll give you the praise for that as well. Bless your word, bless your people, and we'll praise and thank you, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Mankind, really left to himself, has no idea and simply has no idea how to approach the Lord and really cannot understand God without him giving us light and understanding. It will always take God to give us spiritual insight to see his holiness and our unrighteousness. Otherwise, we come up with this crazy notion that God's going to weigh out our good and our bad, and that's never going to be the case. We have no good in us. And listen, the world does not understand that. There is no good, there is none righteous, no, not one. And yet you hear this statement being made. And therefore, mankind has a spark of divinity. No, there's no, listen, the only spark we have is that God created us. But other than that, there is no righteousness in us that will ever cause us to be accepted before the righteousness of God. Just cannot be. Even our righteousness are as filthy rags. And that's really important to understand that. And then God begins to illuminate our way and our understanding. But listen, we are still marred with the old nature. It's been crucified in the Lord. The flesh has been crucified, and we can have victory in the Lord, but we must walk by faith. What does that mean? Trusting in what God has said. We cannot do it in ourselves, not trusting in what we should be doing or ought to be doing for the Lord, but what God has promised to do in your life and mine. Or listen, we will be just as blind as a saved child of God. We will lack the light of God in our lives that the Lord intends every believer to walk in and to enjoy. The Bible tells us Jesus made the promise that he was going to give us another comforter. Is that true? Let me try that again. The Lord gave us a promise that he would provide a comforter that we know as the Holy Spirit. Is that true? Okay, that's important because if we don't know, nobody knows. Amen? If other than the Lord, as far as people on planet Earth, if God's people don't know the purpose of the Holy Spirit, then the world is in darkness. But wait a minute. I want you to understand, listen, God says, "I am placing you in the world to shine my light by his power, not ours." How many times have you heard it said before? By the Lord's power, not by our strength. Our strength is very finite. Our strength, listen, we don't have enough strength to do anything for God. God must do it all. All we need to do is simply abide in Christ. Then he abides in us. And we understand that we're abiding in him. He produces the fruit. And therefore, we don't have to worry about what we need to produce, but we do need to realize this, the importance of abiding in Christ. Question this morning, you've heard this truth this morning, don't answer this one, do you really know what it means to abide in Christ? May you say, I pray in your heart, oh listen, I understand a little bit, but I want to understand so much more about what it means to abide in the Spirit of Christ and to walk in him and to allow him to live his life in and through us. Because if we think we've already arrived, well, my goodness, let's just go home. We're where we need to be. We will never grow anymore in the Lord Jesus Christ if we think we have everything we're ever going to get from God. And that's not the truth. The truth is that God is listen, when Peter was called to be a fisher of men, remember that? That's all the work the Lord needed to do in his life, right? He was ready to roll. No, he wasn't. He wasn't. He kept making mistake after mistake after mistake. And so, but listen, here's the problem. It's when we stop asking. You remember when the one little boy was possessed and the disciples were sent out to heal the lame, and all of a sudden this one was brought forward to him and the disciples could not heal him? Remember that? And the Lord said, "Oh, listen, ye of little faith," right? But wait a minute, these were the disciples who were empowered just a little while ago to go ahead and do things for the Lord, and now they come to this one that they can't do. Here's the good part, ready? They said, "Lord, why could we not cast him out?" They asked that question. "Lord, what is the problem?" That they could have just simply said, "Well, the Lord took care of it. That's it. That's how I'll just live life then." No, listen, they came to the point in their life when they said, "Why could I not do what you've called me to do?" Now, the world's crowd and the religious crowd jumped on that and said, "Huh, see, your master is an imposter. Your master is somebody that is misleading you." Oh, no, 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 no. Listen, if we're not careful, we do the same thing to the Lord Jesus Christ if we don't ask, "Lord, why is this not taking place in my life? Why am I not able to see your light and your power and your salt in my life, your fruit in my life?" Because in the world looks at Christians today and they're looking for hypocrisy. They are looking for failure because that's how they justify themselves. God doesn't want us to do that. Now, the Lord said, let me ask you this. Did the Lord say, "Lord, when he prayed to the Father, I'm not asking you that you call them out of the world, but that you deliver them," right? "And you give them victory over the world, that they might be lights in the world, that they might be as you and I were," right? When the Lord was speaking, I'm paraphrasing. When the Lord was speaking as he was getting ready to go to the cross, he's saying, "Listen, I'm praying for these, but not for these only, but for also those that will believe in the word that they're preaching," and that's us, "that they might be as we are." And he said, "Listen, you need to be careful about the world, because the world system is under the power of Satan. But God is going to square that all up one day. But we need to realize that in the world, we're going to have tribulations and trials, but God is going to deliver us and glorify himself in and through our lives and bless us in the process." But this is important. Listen, when we walk in this world, and especially today, be careful in everything that you touch because it's part of the world system. God's not asking us to come out of the world. Listen, medicine is under the world system. I explained this last Sunday, but this is important. Politics is under the world system, and everybody say, "Amen to that." We could see that. And the world system is under Satan. And so therefore, when we live life, we are in the world, but we have to be careful and walk with caution to realize that we are touching Satan's domain, but that God intended your life and my life to bring light into the world, not to get caught up in its darkness. And so listen, we're not trying to meet the devil on his world system, on his level. We're looking to walk in it by the grace of God, in his power and in his might, that he might shine his light into the world. See, if we're not careful, we get distracted and we say, "Oh, we need just to get a whole new set of political leaders." Well, I would agree with you, but I want you to understand this, that's still the world system. Even if you got a brand new set of political leaders that were all good, they're still going to go into the world system and they're going to be affected by that, especially if they don't know Jesus. Now, here's what I want you to understand that we don't see. We get our eyes on the surface and we don't see the underlying work. We see all the things that politicians are doing today that they shouldn't be doing, or things that they're not doing that they should be doing. Would you agree with me on that? I want you to know that all of that is under the world system. God's not saying don't touch it, because if we don't engage in that, then there's no light to be shined in that area. God is not saying don't become a physician, don't become a scientist. No, he wants us in there with his light. He wants us in every area, but we need to walk carefully as to not get caught up into that world system. Now, I want you to see the darkness. Now, listen. I don't know if you realize this, and I've just here this last couple few days been seeing these little clips on these school board meetings about the pornography inside libraries of public school for the little ones. That listen, this one lady began to read it. I had to shut it off. I was becoming sick at listening. And then I fast forward to where the school board was discussing. Do you know that they made every concession? We don't have the right to remove that. It is filth. And so we're worried about the political realm, and we don't even see the moral decline and decay that's taking place in the front of these little kids that are in elementary grades. What hope do they have if the adults that are supposed to be the representatives, the educators, are telling them this is okay? Here was one of their excuses, and this man ought to be fired, all right? Well, they're not checking them. It's in the library, but nobody, as far as we can tell, nobody's checking it out. It ought to be out, and whoever wrote that, and they wrote it for specifically the public school system, ought to be incarcerated under this kind of pornography. I mean, listen, it is, it is unbelievable. You couldn't have been any more X-rated and any more pornographic in what was said. And this is what these little kids are reading. Listen, if we're not careful, we get affected and calloused to the things of this world. We don't even realize, we get absorbed into it. Do you know in the 70s they started promoting things that God calls an abomination, and we were laughing at it as a society on television. We were laughing at it. And they were just saying, oh listen, we're just calling evil good. That's all we're doing. You can just tolerate this evil. After all, freedom of speech. I don't think the founding fathers had perversions like this under the freedom of speech. And now they're calling good evil. They flipped it now. Now they're calling that which is good and holy and righteous, now we are looked at as the evil part. But now listen, God knew that we would be in this world for such a time as this. He knew that. But you and I are not going to do it in our own strength. Not and do it right and not be affected by it and not even be even coerced by it and not even be influenced by it. We will never do that in our own strength. We will fall into that and we will excuse things and just not see anything wrong with it. That's what will happen. Unless we are standing in the presence of God to see His holiness. As we consider our text this morning, I want you to realize this has been the battle from the very beginning. It is amplified right now. But I want you to know the human heart is at enmity with the things of God. And here's the crazy thing, all right? You have all these people that have nothing to do with God that are trying to tell you and I how Christians ought to be. They have no right. God has given them no place. They have no understanding. And by the way, you and I can't even come up with how to live for the Lord on our own. This is what we should do. This is what we shouldn't do. Oh no, listen. God has given to you and I the Holy Spirit to guide us. Because as much as Peter loved the Lord, he messed up and didn't know the mind of God many times. And he even messed up even after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't he? And Paul would tell you the same thing, all right? That listen, without the Lord Jesus Christ, we will lead ourselves in the wrong way and the world will influence us in the wrong way. Now listen, again, please don't misunderstand me. God is not saying that we should be out of the world. Oh no, listen, we are to be in the world that he might shine his light through your life and mine of what's right and wrong, not by our power, but by his in every area of our life. So as we look to our text, I want you to see something. First of all, as we consider this question that this lawyer made, there's a twofold problem with it. Then we'll see the Lord's love and his love. Has God changed or is he the same? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is God still not willing that any should perish? I'm not willing. God doesn't want them to perish. Did he know that you and I would be here for such a time as this? Absolutely. And so we need to look to him and not to our understanding. And listen, if we perish, we perish. That ought to be the outlook. Lord, if my life doesn't count for you, and if I'm not going to stand for you, then really, what is the point in my relationship with you and your relationship with me? What is the point of saying that God has changed our lives if there's no God and the influence of God in our lives? And lastly, an unknown light of God revealed. So let's look at the first problem here. The first point here is a twofold problem with the lawyer's question. First of all, look at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him. That's the wrong motive. I mean, he's looking for a problem, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, first of all, the first problem was pride and contempt for the Lord. His whole motive was to tempt the Lord. He stood up, by the way. Did you see that? Listen, verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up. Did that mean he wanted to be seen? I mean, all of a sudden, he was sitting down with everybody else, and then he's sitting down with, and then he stands up. Oh, Lord, what shall I do to, and you think he wanted to be seen by everybody? Absolutely. But the spirit was wrong. It was the human spirit, so he stands up in pride and contempt. And then secondly, he had the right idea in this fact that eternal life is inherited. That's correct. But when you inherit something, it's been given to you. You don't earn something. You don't earn eternal life. It's inherited. So the problem really reveals that, what shall I do? He thought he had to do something for it. What shall I do to inherit? Well, if you inherit something, it was given by somebody else, wasn't it? And so the lawyer had the idea that he had something to do to inherit eternal life. And then I want you to see the Lord's love here in verses 26 through 29. And here's what I want to ask you. Did Jesus know what the lawyer was up to? Did he know what he was all about? Absolutely. But wait a minute, I want you to see this. He was still wanting to help him. He was not even willing that this lawyer who was dishonoring him. You know, when people disrespect you, you kind of have a natural tendency to keep your distance. In fact, you might even have a natural tendency to even not like them. And by the way, God's holy and righteous. He had every right, but that was not his outlook. And so, verse 26, he said unto him, what is written in the law? Notice what the Lord does this. And this is really the beginning of the end of the lawyer's wisdom. He doesn't know it yet. And this is the beginning and the end of the world's wisdom that finds, you know, this is real smart, right? Can God make a rock too big that he can't lift? Oh, we got God, don't we? Oh, no, you don't. You're going to kneel and you're going to bow and you're going to realize how ridiculous a statement that was before a holy and righteous God. And by the way, by saying that, can God make a rock? See, he can't, can he? Or he can't, he can't. That doesn't make any sense. So therefore, God does not exist because you can't answer that question. Oh, listen, they're going to stand before an all-righteous God who spoke everything into being that they don't even know about. There are things that God has created that goes beyond our little planet that they have no inkling about when they stand in his presence. And so the Lord says in verse 26, he said unto him, what is written in the law? Listen to what the Lord says. How readest thou? Do you not think the Lord already knew that the way he was reading the law was misunderstood? The Lord is bringing him to his end that his understanding is flawed. It's flawed. The world's understanding is flawed. It does not understand God. So it comes to its own conclusions that are simply wrong. And all the wrong is going to be made right one day, but unfortunately to the peril of those who are without Christ. Let that not be said about God's people. So he's dealing with this lawyer. And then now we find here truth without understanding, surely lacking in the Spirit of God, is always going to lead in arrogance and pride. When we are trying to understand spiritual things without the Spirit of God, you're going to find arrogance and pride will really rule the heart of mankind. And by the way, God resists the what? The proud. Well, we got a lot of pride in society today. We got pride parades. We got a proud family. We've got all kinds of pride that God says, I don't have anything. I resist that. Listen, Brother George, you better be careful about what you're saying. I want you to know I am. I am careful to honor and glorify my Creator and my Savior. Not what the world thinks. And by the way, you'll never jump high enough for the world. You'll go here, you'll go there, and they'll devour their own. Verse 27. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Oh, he knew it, didn't he? This is the lawyer. With all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now listen, follow this thought right here. He quoted scripture, but he did not understand it. He thought he did. He thought he had the Lord in a corner. So now we find here an opportunity for light to come in, that really the letter can never bring in light. The letter of the law, and that's what he's quoting right there, what he was looking to was the letter of the law will never bring in the grace of God. It's right. Listen, don't misunderstand me. The letter of the law is right, but there's no mercy and there's no grace in it. It is holy and it's righteous, and Jesus didn't come to do away with it, did he? No, he didn't. Because it was holy and righteous, but he came to fulfill it because you and I can't. So, verse 27, he quotes this, and then verse 28, look what the Lord does. The Lord sends in light. Ready? And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do and thou shalt live. The truth is, you can't do it. Now, but here's the deception. Ready? He thought he did. He thought he did. He thought he had an impeccable, because the religious crowd, everybody supposedly looked up to them. Right? If anybody was doing the right thing, it was the religious crowd of the day. And so he thought if anybody deserves to go to heaven, that's his first mistake. Because we none do. Surely I'll be there. That's what he thought. So, verse 29, here's a revelation of darkness from the lawyer's own mouth. Ready? But he willing to justify himself. See, he probably thought the Lord would say, well, my goodness, you've done a lot of good things. I mean, you're a good standing citizen. You're a lawyer of the law. You can quote scripture. That was all surface. But he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Oh, he didn't see this one coming. He did not see this one coming. Because the Lord put the finger right on his heart. Because he was not willing. He maybe done good to other Jews, but he would never touch a Samaritan, a half-Jew, not even a Gentile, a half-Jew. See, they were so ingrained and had so perverted the law of God that they used that for their own righteousness, which was to show them that they needed the sacrifice. They had become so self-righteous in themselves that they could not even see that how flawed they were and how much they needed the grace of God. And so they perverted it. So the last thought here we find is an unknown light. The unknown light of God revealed. So he said, who is my neighbor? That's a good question. He doesn't realize that he just put his finger in his own eyeball. And here it is, verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of all his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. So this man is definitely in the position and in the place that he cannot help himself. See, listen, do you know what the religious crowd of the day would do? they would help those and do good to those that could help them. See? They were playing politics, right? Let's see, I'll help people, you know, but what's it going to do for me? See, when I help people, I want to make sure there's something that I'm going to get something out of it. And so he said, this guy's half dead, verse 31. And by chance there came down a certain priest. This is the religious rulers, right? That way. And when he saw him, he passed on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by the other side. But a certain Samaritan, oh, listen, the Lord just put his finger on it. Because the Lord is not partial to anybody. The Lord is gracious to all, because he's not willing that any should be condemned. That's why Jesus came. The world's already condemned. That's what the world doesn't understand. Why did Jesus have to come? Because we were dying and going to hell. He came so that we might have life. And by the way, if you're saved, he's entered into your life to give us his life. And it's not just in salvation. Let me correct that. It's not just in eternal life. It's in the saving of our souls. We have eternal life, but God is wanting to deliver us from this world system and to deliver us from the flesh, that his grace and his gospel would shine in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, in his church. When he spoke to his disciples, he was speaking to his church. And he told them to pray for things to take place. And that God would bless them in that. And by the way, listen, it hasn't changed even today. And so here are these two individuals, verse 33, and now we find the Samaritan. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Some having compassion, making a difference. It's the love of God. Do you know what went through this lawyer's mind? If I was that Jew, I would not want that Samaritan to touch me. I don't care if I was dead. That's how bent against them they were. And so he's listening to what the Lord is saying. And by the way, so is everybody else. Where that lawyer stood up to make his little decree. This is what I... Listen, so many people stand up and they're pointing a finger at God. They don't know the humility that they're getting ready to face if they reject the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to find out how wrong. How do I know that? Because God revealed himself to me through salvation, as he did to you. You can tell me he's not real. You can say that all day long. I will never believe it. I can't. I cannot believe that lie. Because God has opened up my eyes. I'll be the first one to tell you I'm not perfect. I'll be the first one to tell you I'm still striving. Amen. To get to the heart of the Lord and to call on him for direction and to call on him for his power by life, that he might be glorified in and through me. But I will never believe that there's no God. Because God has opened up my eyes that I would not be foolish. Because it is the fool that says in his heart there's no God. And so here is this the Samaritan, and he has compassion on him, verse 34. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. This guy couldn't help himself. And by the way, listen, he went down from Jerusalem, so he was a Jew. And he was in a precarious situation to where he couldn't help himself. And he was getting help from the least likely place he ever thought he would get help. And by the way, the least likely place he would ever dream of asking for help. You see where the Lord's at? See, the world looks at Jesus like this lawyer did the Samaritan. They don't want any part. The world is the enemy of God. And yet God has come into the world to be the Savior of the world. Isn't that amazing? And so he binds up his wounds here in verse 34, pouring in oil and wine. He spared no expense, set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now the Lord told his story. Listen, this man's eyes were opened to do one of two things, to either receive the truth or to reject it. Listen, I've heard people say, well, I know what I believe. Well, if it's not what God said, it's wrong. It's wrong. And if it's not really moved by the Spirit of God in your life, even the truth has little to no benefit other than eternal life. If you've trusted the Lord, it does nothing to do for your present life that God intended it to do. See, God called us not just to be saved, but to be lights in the world of His grace. I think the church has forgotten that. Here's what happens, see? We get into the world and we start coming up with our plans, our ideas. Where is God in that? If we're not careful, we're caught up in the world system and striving to do the same thing. When the Lord said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added unto you. No, this is what we've got to do. See, we're in it, but if we're not careful, we've become of it. I'm not saying we're doing anything wrong in the sense of sin, but we're just caught up in the world system. We look more to our stocks and more to our investments than the Word of God. More to what we eat and what we wear than the Word of God. The world system. The Lord brings it all down to this in verse 36. Which now of these three thinkest thou? Do you see how the Lord work? You see how the Lord works? First of all, what is written in the law? How do you read it? You see, the Lord wants us to know how we think in the light of truth. Now, how do you think? Because you thought one way before you met the truth, and then now you think a different way, or you should think a different way, after the truth being revealed and our eyes being open to the truth. See, we come thinking we know so much, don't we, to God? What does God do with the proud? Oh, listen, you have nothing to tell me. May I tell you something? God is an infinite God. You believe that? His word is infinite. Do you know how many times I've read this portion of Scripture? I can't even tell you. 10 times, that'll be enough to get everything that God can ever give me out of that portion. 20 times? You see how we think? I already know that story. That means we're not hearing the Spirit and His direction to open up. Be careful that you don't become a self-righteous individual. Because I want you to know, listen, I am preaching this to you, but I'm also preaching it to myself the second time. God gave it to me the first time. And then I reviewed it and went over it. And I'm hearing it myself as you're hearing it and considering my own life. Because that's who I have to give an account for. My responsibility before the Lord, first of all, is to walk with Him and to point His flock to the truth by His grace. But I have to be careful myself that I don't get wrapped up in being confident in what I'm doing and not confident in my God. Because what happens is, I don't know if you've ever remember doing something for the Lord for the first time. You do a lot of praying. You do a lot of praying. But then before long, if you're not careful, oh, I got this. You're in trouble. If you got it. Because if you got it, the Lord doesn't have it. I need the Lord every day when I get up in the morning. Because just as we talked about last week, if you were prescribed something to help you that was addictive, like an opium, like some kind of a narcotic to help you with pain, people are very afraid of that because they can be taken further away than they ever planned on, and they don't want to be addicted to it. And the world system is more deceptive. And He can lead us away into things. And God's not saying, listen, you know, there's peace with the Lord when He says, I want you to have that. There's peace with God. We can have it with peace. I want you to give that away. And we follow Him. There's peace in that. There are things that God wants us to have and to enjoy, but those things are not what life is all about. Is not your life more than food and raiment and the things of this world that are passing away? Or have the world is all worried about those things. But those things aren't wrong. It's just wrong for those things to have us, or for us to fall into the world system, that we might be pliable in the hands of God. I dare say this lawyer thought he had it all. And for the first time in his life, opened up his eyes. God did. And by the way, he intended to tempt the Lord and to undermine him. And God said, I'm not doing that. God says, I'm trying to point him to the truth. So the Lord says in verse 36, which now, remember what he said before? How do you see this? How do you understand this? How's this making sense to you? Which now, after you've considered all these things, now, how do you see it? Which now of these three thinkest thou? How do you think about this? Was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And I want to remind you that these Samaritans were highly despised. I mean, if you know the history behind it, these people walked everywhere. They would walk around Samaria. They hated them so much. Not me, Jack. I don't care who you are. Take a long detour. But they had such hatred. And so this was an important question. Because nothing but humility would be able to give the right answer. And it was a battle for him. But listen to what he says. After the Lord dealt with him, verse 37, and he said, he that showed mercy on him, that's the truth. And that mercy came from an unexpected quarter. Then said Jesus unto him, what? Go and do thou likewise. Right? Remember what he said in verse 28? This do, that was the letter of the law. And thou shalt live. But he couldn't do it. Now you go and do thou likewise. Now that you understand something, that it's of mercy and compassion and grace, now do thou likewise. You know who the person was that was beat up in the story? It was this lawyer. He didn't even realize it. He was the one that was wounded. Who's binding up his wounds? Who's giving him the true nourishment? It was Jesus. And you don't find any rebuttal after that. That's the light of God shining in a dark place. And that's what God has called you and I to be. But if we're full of ourselves and our plans, there's no light. Saved child of God, no light without Jesus. No light without Jesus. And so this morning, the question to the lost, from the lost, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? But maybe to us, how are we walking in the light of life that's been given to us? That the world like these people might see when they ask us, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And that will be because of the grace of God that they're seeing. No rebuttal, no debate. He had an opportunity to make a choice. May God use us to be His light and His salt as we enter into the world, that we might point the lost to the light of God. But it's our choice, isn't it? It's God's invitation, but still the choice is ours. Would you stand? This is the Lord's invitation. We talked about prayer this morning in Sunday school class. Boy, they prayed and prayed and continued in prayer. We see that there's a problem in our world, but we must call upon the Lord if there's going to be a difference. We must call upon Him and say, God, we need You. We need the Lord today, do we not? I think more than ever before in my lifetime. There's no hope without Him. There's no politician that's going to straighten this mess out. In fact, I don't know that the mess is ever going to be straightened out until Jesus comes again, but we can still point people to Christ, even in this day and age, for the glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and for the reminder. Lord, if there's one here that maybe does not have the assurance of eternal life, I pray, Lord, that you would help them to see that we have no righteousness of ourselves, none. Even what we think is good is not right before you. That's why you came and shed your holy and righteous blood and gave us your life, that we might have eternal life in what you've given to us as a gift. Not anything we can do, but simply receive. Realize the error of our ways, repent of that, and turn to you, even as your child. Maybe we've become too full, or maybe even deceived, with the things of this world that are passing away, and we don't call upon you like we should. Lord, speak to our hearts that we might acknowledge before you the error of our ways, and yes, Lord, we've neglected, that we might look to you and not ourselves or what others are doing or not doing to justify ourselves, but to look to you and to ask you to allow us to see us how you see us. Bless the invitation, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.